If you want to become financially independent, come to my seminar. Let me show you how to make the fortune you have always dreamed about.
Ready? Go!
What happens if you are named
in Nelson
Rockefeller's
will? You get rich quick.
Stand on the line, play the game again. Everybody's gonna lose and I'm gonna win. Gonna get rich quick. This is my lucky day.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to Get Rich Quick with Josh
and Noel
right here on Radio Free Brooklyn. This is a show where I, Josh Rubin,
and I, Noel Dineen,
come together once a week over a single topic, and from that topic sprouts a garden of ideas on how to get rich and how to get rich quickly. I like to think of it as a money tree we're sprouting, Noel.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't ask for any money up front from you people. We're a service. We provide a service for you, the listening public. That's about it. That pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
We don't ask for any money up front. Every idea is new.
Uh-huh.
At least mine are. Noah likes to repeat his a lot. We're not this, like, you know, one size fit all. We are, I would say, that we are prêt-à-porter. We're ready to wear.
Okay.
Our ideas just, you know, you come in, you take our idea, and it's ready to go.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to, there's not a lot of filling out
not
of
usually.
Our ideas.
Not
you
usually.
Just, you know, maybe some investment on your own,
mm-hmm.
buying tools or necessary things, but in terms of sort of fleshing out the idea, it's
They're
done for
fully
you.
Fully fleshed.
Yeah, it's fully fleshed. and then you get really rich.
Mm-hmm.
We've had several listeners add billions to them, to their wealth.
To their portfolio.
To their portfolio.
Yeah.
We're waiting for our first trillionaire.
Oh.
But it's coming.
Any second.
We don't put a cap on how many ideas you can use.
Or how much money you can make.
Yeah. We don't believe in stifling your riches.
No.
No. And once you're wealthy, once you're rich, once you are sitting on the lap of luxury.
Yeah.
Cuddled up in the bosom of exotic cars. Then and only then do you think back to your humble beginnings.
Yeah.
In some cases, low many months prior. That's how quickly you can get rich off of some of our schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Should I say ideas? Scheme sounds so...
Schemey.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Then and only then do you say, it's time to give back to them that spawned me.
That's right. That's right, you guys. After you are a millionaire, billionaire, maybe our first trillionaire, and you've already reaped the money crops which you did sow, you say, hey, this bounty before me, it wasn't just there. I didn't just come up and reap it. Someone gave me a seed. And that someone was Josh and Noel. I owe them 10% of everything I've reaped. Tithe them. That's it. That's the deal.
Yeah.
10% of everything you make.
It seems real.
After
you're
rich.
Off of our ideas. Off of our ideas.
Yeah.
You know, when you get really rich and then you start investing in other things with that money.
That's your money.
That's your money.
Yeah.
We don't want, that's not ours.
No.
That's yours. Even though the money you're using.
Yeah.
To invest in
those
things.
Legally, we probably would have a claim.
But anyway. No.
Anyway.
Haven't seen you in a week.
Yeah.
Well, less than that.
Yeah, we saw each other last week.
Saw each other over
week.
The weekend.
Yeah.
Ugh. I got to stop spending time with
I
you
know.
And your girlfriend. It's really annoying.
I know. You just keep showing up.
Well, you know, if I didn't like your girlfriend so much,
uh-huh.
I probably wouldn't.
Hey, easy, Tiger.
What? She's good people.
Yeah, she's good.
You, on the other hand.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Anyway, Noel.
Anyway.
How have the past 4 or 5 days been
good.
For you?
Good. Last week, as we discussed, was the fourth anniversary party for Radio Free Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to that party.
Mm-hmm.
And also at that party who showed up, I mentioned this to you, was Eric Perkis, a guest on our fan fiction episode.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to go back into the archives and check that one out. It's a bit of a doozy. But Eric showed up to wish Radio Free Brooklyn a happy birthday and a congratulations. And we were talking about some of the old days. I know Eric from Chicago, and he was at Improv Olympic. And at this theater, I had been around the theater longer than him, and there was me and, like, this other guy, and literally, we could have told Perkis, like, hey, Perkis, you should jump off this bridge, and he'd be like, yeah, that's a great idea. Like, we could have told him anything, right?
Uh-huh.
But, so one day, there was this show going on, and it was kind of a show with all sorts of things, and my buddy ran it, and I was like, I came up with this idea, and I just went to my buddy. I'm like, hey, can we go on stage now and do this? And we told him what it was, and he's like, yeah, sure, you can do that. And it was a great idea. And what it was Ninja Prof. So he goes on, he introduces it, lights go out, we go on stage, take a suggestion, start doing scenes. At some point, the lights come up, and we all scramble and hide behind the furniture and things on the stage. And then the lights go out, and we just continue the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Lights come up, we scramble and hide. And it went like that for the time. It was a great idea, though. Sticks with you.
What was the reception like for this?
They loved it. Okay. They loved it. It was like a late night show where it was like a bit of a rowdy scene. They loved it. So Perkis and I were talking about the good old days
of Ninja Prof.
You know, Josh and I were just upstairs talking about all sorts of things, and I started telling him all this wackadoo stuff I'd done before performance-wise, and then he came up with, he actually asked me, have you ever done Ninja Prof? I was like, dude, we should go down and just start recording because you're going to take everything I'm going to talk about tonight out of my lips.
It's true. Or it isn't.
It is.
It is. I asked you if you've ever done Ninja Prov.
Yeah.
Did I specifically say Ninja Prov?
You didn't call it Ninja Prov. You called it Ninja Improv.
Okay. All right. I don't even remember saying that.
Yeah.
That's how bad my memory is.
Yeah, that was like 2 minutes ago,
yeah,
dude.
It really was. I don't know. I don't know if it's that my memory is so bad or I just don't care about anything
anymore. Might be both.
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah.
The reason I asked you if you had done Ninja Improv,
uh-huh,
and the reason I'm assuming you told the story is because today's topic is, Noel,
today's topic is ninjas, how to get rich with them, how to assassinate your way to the top.
Oh, yeah.
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 Ninja.
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 So, Noel.
Yeah.
How does one get rich off of Ninja Prof?
I'm going to tell you, almost how does one not. Right, ninjas. So if we want to make some money off of them, we need to understand them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So here's some ninja facts for you. Hopefully you don't have a list of ninja facts.
No, I think we established that I don't have any list of ninja facts.
Okay, good. So the name ninja comes from a misreading of the ideograms. In mock Chinese, the actual name was originally Shinobi no Mono.
Oh, I thought it was Ninjers.
I don't know what they're just like from Baltimore or something.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
We got some Ninjers over here.
Shinobi no Mono.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't
sound anything like ninja.
No,
though.
It was a misread. So you know how they write with the little
pictograms. Yeah,
it was a misreading of the pictograms.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's it. The first historical record of ninjas comes from the Taikeki War Chronicles from 1375.
Yep.
The biggest historical record of the ninjas was from the Bansenshukai, which was written in 1676.
The what?
The Bansenshukai.
What was that?
It was known as the Ninja Bible.
Oh.
That's right. It was written during a time of peace when they had a little free time on their hands and they decided they'd write stuff down. The golden age of the ninjas were the 15th and 16th centuries when Japan was torn apart by wars. Ninjas could be from any class, including samurai. Only after the peace of 1600 that ninjas were given the social class of doshin, which was half samurai. What often now is referred to as ninjutsu,
mm-hmm.
Which is a form of hand-to-hand combat, that was actually invented by a man in Japan during the 1950s and 60s, and there's no medieval records of this form of combat. So it's make-believery.
Make-believery.
Yeah.
Yep.
What we think of as a ninja suit, right? The black suit, the mask. It's actually what was, at the time, traditional Japanese clothes, but with a mask.
Okay.
So that's what they were just dressed like.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just a ninja dress like that. It wasn't a uniform. As a matter of fact, ninja, what they were going for is they were trying to dress to be able to blend into the crowd, right?
Yeah, they were dressing like farmers and things like that.
But that's how they dressed.
Yeah, I got you.
As a matter of fact, they also usually wore blue, not black,
because
they felt black was too dark to blend into the darkness. And blue, you could kind of disappear in the darkness.
Oh, interesting.
Plus, blue was a very popular color at the time, so many people would be seen in blue. They only wore black on moonless nights.
Oh.
Yeah. Ninjas were trained in combat, covert operations, propaganda, spycraft, infiltration, explosives, poison. Also, ninjas were trained in many professions so that they could get work to be able to infiltrate.
Mm-hmm.
They were worked for hire. Often the samurais would hire them to go and infiltrate the enemy for information, sabotage, assassinations, what have you, right? They were kind of the CIA of the day, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Weapons were made small enough to conceal or ordinary objects needed for their work, right? So the staff, the scythe, the sickle and chain were all modified farm equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So traditional ninja clothes and weapons, it doesn't cut it anymore, right?
In today's society, yeah. I mean. Yeah.
Ninja suits and modified farming equipment, nowadays that just draws attention to you. They did those things specifically to blend in.
Yeah, now modified farming equipment would be a tractor.
Yeah.
With guns attached to it.
Sure. You go walking down the street in a ninja suit with a scythe, you're getting the cops called on you pretty quick, dude.
People are going to pretty much know
that
you're a ninja.
Yeah.
There's going to be no questioning
what
your motives are.
If you had a sign on you that said, I'm a ninja, that would actually make you look less like a ninja.
There is a kid that I went to high school with that for a while was coming to school dressed up as a ninja.
Oh, boy.
That was his thing.
You couldn't do that nowadays.
Do you think not?
I think not.
There was also, I don't know if you went through this in like middle school.
Mm-hmm.
There was a point there where a lot of dudes were into nunchucks.
Sure.
And butterfly knives.
Well, not butterfly knives.
And throwing stars.
Sure. Sure.
And that was like a big thing for a while.
Yeah.
The kids, but the kids that I went to school with, because in middle school I went to a prep school, we had to wear jackets and ties.
Uh-huh.
So you'd have these kids in jackets and ties carrying around ninja
sure.
weaponry.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, maybe they were really ninjas.
Maybe, maybe. So what we're going to do now, what you're going to do, listener, you want to make some money, you're going to update the ninja for today's world,
mm-hmm.
right? And there'll be a lot of money in re-outfitting and all of this, right? So first of all, we're going to talk about ninja training.
Okay.
As I said, it's pretty fluid because ninjutsu is actually not an old thing, right?
Right?
So if someone says you can't change the ancient arts, you say, you know what? Take a hike. So training.
Uh-huh.
It's not just going to be hand-to-hand combat. It's not just going to be weapon use. You're going to need, and it's not just going to be, you're going to include the traditional ninja training of explosives, poison, covert ops, mm-hmm. all that spy craft, right? But you're also going to include things nowadays. You're going to include basic skills of professions, like basic Excel skills.
IT.
IT.
You could be a ninja.
Point of sale system. So you can go into any retail place mm-hmm. and go behind the counter, and you're like you've been there for years, right? You want to be able to, you want this person to be able to infiltrate our world today.
Yep.
Clothes. You're not going around in a ninja suit anymore.
Nope.
Not even a blue one.
Nope.
You're going to make and sell khakis and other office casual wear
mm-hmm.
that are made for combat, right? They got special pockets. They've got reinforced knees or something that you can't quite see by looking at them. But they all just look like khakis, Patagonia shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They look like me.
Yeah. Glasses.
Glasses. Yeah. Weapons, right? You need weapons that aren't going to look out of place in today's world and workplace. This is something I've had for a few years because I forget where I saw it, and I just thought it was the funniest thing in the world. So I have at work a tactical pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pen that's made so you can actually use it as a weapon too.
Uh-huh.
But because they wanted to make it extra deluxe, where the point of this pen is,
mm-hmm.
it's a rubber stylus for using on an iPad. So they made it into a weapon, but mm-hmm. then they took the weapon out of it to make it more appealing as a tech geek thing.
So let me understand. I don't uh-huh. understand. So it doesn't. It's not like a pen with a knife in it. It's
no.
just angled in a way that if you could stab someone with it very easily.
It is a steel, fairly big pen mm-hmm. that's fairly substantial. So you could bonk someone with it.
Uh-huh.
But the tip of it used to come to a tip.
Right.
And now it's a rubber iPad stylus.
So it's something that you could probably take on a plane with you and not be...
Oh, sure. I'm sure you could. And you know what? If you were stuck in a car, you could break a window with it to get out.
It's that heavy.
Oh, it's metal.
I understand, but that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. You could get it through a window.
Okay. That's good to know.
Yeah.
In case you can have that, and if you go over a cliff into a lake,
yeah,
you can smash your window to get out.
Sure, yeah. So I was thinking about that, and obviously that already exists, but what about if we make some tactical other office supplies, right? We could make tactical keyboards that mm-hmm. are made of reinforced steel, lightweight carbon fiber frames, so they're super tough, maybe have an edge on them even,
mm-hmm.
right? You could pop the keys out and throw them on the floor like those pointy things that they would throw to make people not run.
Mm-hmm.
The mouse. Well, that mouse cable, if you've still got a cable on your mouse, could be a beautiful garrot or whatever they call it.
Yeah, a garrot,
I think. A garrot. You could have poison Post-its.
Mm-hmm.
You could go real deep with this
yeah,
office wear weaponry.
Yeah, it could just very much be very, shall we say, James Bondish.
Yeah.
I mean, I would imagine, you know, as part of
the... But it's more for hand-to-hand.
As part of the uniform, you're going to have an iPhone.
Sure.
So that's got to be weaponized in some fashion.
Weaponized, yeah.
You're going to have your earbuds.
Yeah.
You're probably...
You could make the earbuds into
a
rappel thing where you could just go and hook them on the wall and climb up.
Well, if you're a techie, I would imagine you would have wireless ones. You'd have the...
But then you could have
AirPods.
You could have a wire that hooks into them.
Yeah, okay. So you could have a wire that hooks into them. But yeah, I mean, I just think you weaponize everything.
You can weaponize everything.
Weaponize your wallet.
Yeah.
There you go. That's an easy one. You just put a blade in the wallet and it just slides right up and you can just slice and dice your way through.
Sure.
If you're going the nerd route, you can have your pocket protector.
Sure.
That could be weaponized in some fashion,
uh-huh.
or maybe used as a protect your heart from people
it
shooting
could,
at
it
you
could
or trying
be,
to stab
be
you.
Protection, or yeah. It could be a protective sleeve to hold poison Post-its.
Oh, there you go.
Right.
I imagine your pens could be turned in, you know, a very classic.
Yeah.
Ninja technique is the poison blow darts.
Sure.
And so you could have a variety of pens with little poison darts in them.
Yeah. And, of course, like in movies across the ages that we've seen so many times, you can have the paper slicer where the thing comes off and you can use it like
a sword.
Saber.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. What are the guillotines those are called?
Sure.
Yeah. And I feel like you could probably... If you were trained well enough,
mm-hmm.
you could turn any or many office supplies into a weapon in and of themselves, like without them being...
Oh, yeah,
you
sure.
could hack them, as
you,
it
you,
were,
yeah.
as
paper
the kids
clips
call
you
it.
Could hack into weapons.
Paper clips,
sure.
staples,
sure.
a stapler.
Yeah.
I imagine if you were good at wiring things, you could trigger something to electrocute somebody.
Yeah, but you kind of need a stable... of static things so that you can use them for training.
Right, I understand.
Right? It's not just about grab anything and use it. It's about here's these five things that you're going to have with you all the time.
Right.
So here's how to get the most out of those five things.
Your newspaper that you uh-huh. can, well, I guess people don't read newspapers anymore.
Not at work.
Yeah. But you bring one with you
yeah.
in your briefcase or in
sure.
your pocket. You roll it up. I mean, that's a classic. That's in Kung Fu, when you get to weapons, I think they teach you how to use rolled up magazines and newspapers as weapons.
Sure,
because you know you roll it up really tight. That thing's hard as a rock.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Okay,
you know I'll roll up a newspaper upstairs and whack you with it over the head a couple times.
All right,
see how much you like that.
Sounds like a deal.
Oh, hello, hello, young lovers. Yeah, that's a great idea, Noel.
Yeah, so a lot of money,
and better than that. An extraordinary amount of pertinent information about the topic.
About the topic, which is ninjas. A fun one to research. Fun to read about.
So you said.
The child in me was happy.
Were you a ninja fan when you were a kid?
Everyone was.
I was not. I liked them fine.
Yeah.
I had a real obsession with Japanese culture.
Okay.
Because at that point in my life, I needed some discipline and some order.
Okay.
And everything I read particularly about, you know, I got really into reading about ancient Japanese sort of samurai and court
sure.
culture, where it was really all about order and doing what you were told.
Uh-huh.
And I was so into that for a while.
I feel like when we were kids was a little bit of a heyday of Japanese popular culture,
sure,
too.
Sure. Well, you had all those books, those Noble House books. James Clavell wrote a series of books that were, you know, they were classic sort of...
Is it the Shogun trilogy?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
The White Savior.
Yeah,
but,
and then that was also a miniseries
yep,
they made?
Well, that's right. So those were hugely popular books that then became a hugely popular miniseries.
Yeah.
And people got really into that.
Bruce Lee?
He's not Japanese.
But he did karate movies.
He did kung fu movies.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's not Japanese. That's Chinese.
Really?
Yeah.
Enter the Ninja.
No, Enter the Dragon.
I didn't know a difference as a kid, though.
Okay.
And back then,
that's reasonable.
In the 70s,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't a mortal mistake not to know the difference.
No, it was not.
Right?
But now
you were worldly to know that there might be a difference.
Did you notice that when you said that the minute you said Bruce Lee, my uh-huh. eyes got wide and I was like, "Oh, you're in trouble."
Why?
Just cuz you were confusing Chinese and Japanese. It was a mortal sin.
Okay.
Versus what you were talking about back then. You didn't know any better.
Back then you didn't know any better.
Okay.
I'm reliving the youth, guys.
That's right. Yeah.
Nowadays I know where Bruce Lee was from.
Noel.
Yeah.
Ninjas.
Ninjas.
What do I know about ninjas?
I don't know.
Not as much as you do.
Okay.
Clearly. But one thing I know is... What's so funny about that?
That was just a great intro for something that's only going to have one fact.
Oh, you're not going to have any facts. There's no facts in what I'm saying.
Okay, all right.
I was sort of following on the idea of not necessarily ninjutsu, but the mm-hmm. more the weapons training and all the things they did. And I was looking at everything they had, and it was all stuff like bow and arrow.
Yeah.
It was the blow darts. It was throwing stars.
Mm-hmm.
It was staffs. It was things like that. And I was like, well, how are we going to make money off of that?
Yeah.
And then it struck me like, what is it that hipsters are into right now?
Yeah.
They're into...
blow darts.
Axe throwing.
Oh, yes. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Right? There's yeah. all these bars around the country where you go, that and cornholing as well. I don't know if you've seen this, but
yeah.
there's actually like professional cornholing going on.
Yeah.
We were watching ESPN The Ocho, because suddenly we were on the professional cornholing league, the PCL,
mm-hmm.
and these guys dressed up like NASCAR guys with all this advertisement on their shirt, but you know,
really?
Yeah, and like real bubbas. And, you know, like literally drinking beer while they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just playing cornhole.
It's America's curling.
It was the... It's so true. It is so true. But, yeah, there's a professional cornhole league. But anyway,
yeah.
getting back on track, not like I'm trying to kill time or anything like that. axe throwing is super popular.
Yeah.
Every hipster neighborhood around the country... has some bar
mm-hmm.
with a big area where there's a big axe throwing pit
yeah.
or whatever the fuck they
yeah,
call
and
them.
And we're like, dude, I got a fixed gear axe.
Right, exactly. As opposed to those multi-gear axes that are out there.
Yeah.
And I thought it would just be, you know, and then I remembered that someone had opened up a ninja restaurant here. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
It was three stories, and you'd, like, walk through alleyways, and your waiters were dressed as ninjas, and they'd sort of come through secret entrances mm-hmm. and exits and stuff like that. And it did very well for a while, except for the fact that the food was terrible.
I actually mention it.
Oh, did you?
I don't go off on it too much, but
okay.
I do mention it.
But, yeah, from what I understand, the food was terrible. But and that's what eventually closed it down. But when it first opened, there were, I think, like, lines
uh-huh.
to get in there. It was, like, a hugely popular idea. So people clearly love ninjas.
Yeah.
And they love throwing weapons at targets.
Uh-huh.
So you're going to open, very simply, a ninja bar.
Okay.
And you are going to have ninja weapon pits where
yeah.
people can shoot bows. They can throw the sickles on chains.
Oh, yeah.
They can throw throwing stars.
Uh-huh.
I was terrible at throwing stars when I was a kid. Like, I could never make them stick.
Yeah.
You know, the ball and chain, which was another one.
Yeah.
And you can just
practice.
The
katanas or whatever they're
called. The katanas. You can do the katanas.
Yeah.
Where you have, like, if you ever watch those weapon shows on, like, the History Channel or anything like that, they make these, it's like gelatin or something like that, but it's basically made to the texture of skin, the toughness and texture of skin.
Oh, really?
And they test, like, the power of weapons.
Really?
And, you know, the type of battle things by having people hack through them
because
they don't want to use like a pig or something like that.
Yeah.
And so they make these like it's either gelatin or
foam,
silicone or something like that. But you know, it's a and they have like they'll have bones in it as well. They'll make a bone structure, so you can practice with a katana. You know, instead of having those punching bags that read the power of your punch, you can have it. How many pounds of pressure do you do when you swing a sword?
Mm-hmm.
All that kind of stuff. There's nothing better than drunk people and dangerous weapons. It's a good combination.
Yeah,
and you put them in an environment where they can haphazardly throw and swing, and you're going to make a fortune.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
And you'll chain. You'll make a chain of them around the country.
Oh, yeah, super chain.
You'll open them everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there you go.
What are you going to call them, Bruce Lees?
Well, no, I wouldn't call them Bruce Lee. I maybe would call them Hattori Hanzos.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
Thanks.
You guys, if you want to reach out to Josh and say, good idea, Josh, so good, as a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a little taste up front before you get rich. You can do that. You can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, go to the Get Rich Quick with Josh Knowles show page, hit the sponsor button, pledge an amount. Half that money goes to Josh and I. Keeps us in ninja gear. Half that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. I don't know what it keeps them in. Keeps them in Chinese something instead of Japanese stuff. If you say, screw these guys, they don't know where Bruce Lee's from, you can do that. You can go to...
One of them knows where Bruce Lee's from.
It doesn't sound like anyone does at this point. And you can go to RadioFreeBrooklyn.com, hit the pledge button, pledge an amount, one time or recurring. All that money goes to Radio Free Brooklyn. Not a red cent goes to Josh or I. You get a tax break. You get to feel good about yourself. You get to support community radio, art, the after-school program for teens.
Have they started the second?
They finished the second.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. They're actually off now until school starts back up after the summer.
How was the second one go?
It was a bit of a lighter lighter load, but the reason being, they think, is they didn't realize the school year when they did it, and this went into the summer. So now next year, it's going to be timed better, so it doesn't go into breaks, and people aren't going to be like, screw that, I'm not taking that, and it goes 2 weeks past school. You know? So if you want to support us other ways other than from your money, which is the best way, we love money. That's why we called
love
our show Get
money.
Rich Quick, because we love money.
Love money.
But if you don't get the hint and you want to help out anyway, you can. You can subscribe to the Radio Free Brooklyn newsletter, Radio Free Brooklyn. You can download the apps. We had an iPhone app. We got an Android app. You can listen to the station live. You can get to all the show's archives anytime you want. You can do that. And to pay you back, to say thank you for letting us plug ourselves, plug our station, plug our newsletter, and plug our apps, we give you something where you can plug the hole in your wallet. Every week we got a topic. This week is ninjas. That's not enough for us. No, no, no. We search out other ways for you to get even more rich. Josh, show him what's up.
The Get Rich Quick Tip of the Week, brought to you by Radio Free Brooklyn.
Wearing a fancy suit is a good start, but how can you get into the world of business with absolutely zero skills and no business education? The answer? Become a fish. China. Lots of Chinese firms pay corporate events. Seems pretty middle-aged white dude who does a bit of creative lying. But if that sounds like you, you could net up to $1,000 a week.
I don't know what happened to that.
What happened to that? What was it?
It was you become a fake CEO, a fake businessman.
Oh, okay.
And that I've told this story, I think, probably in the past, that China pays people to be like fake engineers and fake doctors and stuff for But now they're paying fake white people, middle-aged white men, to be fake businessmen.
All right.
And come to meetings. And you go to meetings and you introduce yourself and you shake hands and you pass out your cards.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to answer any questions, but it's just, you know, these businesses showing that members of the West, people in the West, are interested in their product or whatever it is they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's just a status symbol. And you get paid for just dressing in a suit and showing up and shaking hands.
Yeah, and you know what the beauty of this one is? If you smell like whiskey, you only fit the part more.
That's true. You can show up drunk. It's absolutely
right?
True.
You can just say, sorry, I just came from lunch and I had a few martinis.
That's because it's 1963. Mad Men, baby. And
I feel like it is like Mad Men in China.
Do you?
It's their heyday, yeah. It's their explosion.
It's their heyday, but I don't think that it's the culture is anything like Mad Men.
I don't know. I feel like it is.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like there's people with money that can get away with a lot, and as that money spreads more, it'll get clamped down on, but right now...
Oh, it's already clamped
it's
down.
It's easy money, pirate days.
Yeah, it's easy
cowboy money. Days, I should say, not pirate
yeah,
days.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing is, anyone who's making money, similarly in Russia, they're all government sanctioned.
Sure.
They're not making any money without the government knowing about the money they're making.
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't think so?
I don't know.
I think you're crazy if you think it's otherwise.
Anyway, guys.
Anyway, Noel.
We're not here to talk about China.
No.
We're here to talk about ninjas, which have
is,
nothing
as far as you're concerned, is part of China.
With China. We have cleared that up. If you guys came to find that out, turn off the show. It's
really?
Cleared.
You're telling them to turn it off?
No,
now?
That's the reason they came to find that
I
out.
Oh, I see. Okay. You know what? It just struck me
what?
Just now at
what?
This moment. I realized, I don't know why it just struck me at this moment, but, you know, I keep thinking that when we do that, the story and then the reveal of what the topic is, I have it in my head that people don't know what the topic is. But if they are
they're listening live on the radio, they don't.
That's true. They don't. But if they're listening to us via a podcast.
They read the title. Yeah.
Just struck me now.
Yeah.
After 198 shows, well, now 199 shows. I just realized that it's not that big a reveal.
Was it heartbreaking for you?
No, it was just, it just dawned on me. And
okay.
I had like a true, I'm an idiot light bulb moment.
All right.
Yeah, it was good. It was solid.
It was a solid I'm an idiot light bulb moment.
It was one of those moments where, you know, well, maybe I'm not stupid for thinking this or asking this question.
Uh-huh.
Maybe I just don't know, and that's okay. No, this was I'm an idiot. This was a full-on I'm dumb.
Well, you know what, though? If you are getting the show 5 days after it first appeared on the air, shame on you.
Why shame
we're,
on them?
We are catering to the crowd that shows up on game day.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
I mean, if you listen to the show when it's originally aired on Radio Free Brooklyn, obviously you have a 5-day head start on making that money.
The New York Yankees, when they go out and play a game,
really? You're
they're not playing
a sports
it
analogy?
For someone who's going to watch it on a videotape in a week. They're playing it for the crowd that came that day. That tuned in, that showed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's like us. We're Yankees.
All right, Noel.
Yeah.
I love when the guy who hates sports
you
makes
guys,
sports analogy.
What other, give me another sports.
I'm not gonna.
Give me something else and I'll make a sport analogy about it.
Chickens.
Chickens, guys. Well, that doesn't.
You just said give you something else.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
You're doing an improv bit.
So, chicken.
Uh-huh.
It's called the white meat, the lean meat. You know what it is like? It's like hockey. Hockey is the chicken of sports.
Yeah, why is that? Because it's all white.
Yeah, basically because it's all white. Yeah, I don't know. Right, I should have stopped where
yeah,
I was.
Yeah, you really should have.
Yeah.
All right, Noel.
Okay,
ninjas.
This one we don't have to scramble around and guess at because we know. We know how to get rich on ninjas. I found a site called Ninja Encyclopedia.
Uh-huh. I found that site.
It came up.
Mine was actually a ninja wiki.
Oh, mine was Ninja Encyclopedia, and it came up real high on almost every search I did.
Well, I mean, it seems like it would, wouldn't
it? It was such a crappy site.
Oh,
though.
Really?
It was so crappy. It would amazed me that it kept coming up so high. I think it was from Japan. I hope it was from Japan, or it was written by someone who sounds like English is their second language, mm-hmm. and it was Google translated from Japan.
Probably Chinese.
Probably.
I mean, you know, it makes sense. That's where ninjas are from.
Yeah. The madmen. The ninja madmen of the world today, as we like to say. So not only does this site go into detail about ninja history, ninja culture, techniques, tools, it also talks about their cultural influence, right? There's a ninja museum in Iga, Japan.
Yes, I know all about it.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, well, because I know my next bit is about the guy who operates
it. Oh, that's as far as I go on that one. That's fine. There's the Koga Ninjutsu tourist resort in Shinga, Japan. You get to stay in a medieval Japanese town and live like a ninja.
Wow, so you get to dress up like a farmer and walk around with tools and not actually farm, just carry shit pretending to be a farmer.
Yeah, it sounds like Pioneer Village. You probably get churned butter. Right, stuff like that. There's Togashiri Mori in Japan, which is a ninja theme park.
I would love to go to that.
That'd be great.
That would be. We should check that out.
And it also mentions several ninja restaurants. One is in Tribeca.
Right.
Ninja.
It's not there anymore, though.
I think I disagree with you.
Really?
Because I looked it up, and I read a whole bunch about it on Yelp.
It's still there?
It sounds to me like it's still there.
I thought it had shut down.
And flourishing, and the reviews of it all were, yeah, it's not the best food in the world, but for a place of this type, which is like a kitschy
theme restaurant,
the food isn't bad.
Okay.
And it's not as expensive as you would think.
Okay.
It's not like some Times Square place.
Mm-hmm.
So what they have there, as you said, they've got... It's a ninja-themed restaurant where the waiters are ninjas, and you're all in your own private room for dinner, so they'll come up and sneak up on you and take your order. They do magic tricks at the table. They also have a lot of things where certain items on the menu... I even looked at the menu online.
Mm-hmm.
The menu has things marked with a throwing star that come with the trick. And so there'll be like, you know, an exploding dragon head on the plate.
Yeah, it's still there.
There's all sorts of stuff. It looked like I made a mental note that next time there's a little kid who comes into town, I got to figure out something to do with them.
Do you remember when there was, I always wanted to go to the Mars 2020 restaurant.
I went there with my nieces
when
they were young.
How was that?
It was entertaining. The kids liked it. The food was like boiled garbage.
Yeah, that's not surprising.
And it was expensive.
Yeah.
This one, it sounds like the food, it's not the best sushi or whatever you're going to have.
But it's food.
But it's much more edible. It's not coming out of a freezer into a fryer onto your plate.
Right.
Someone at least attempted
to cook.
Yeah.
Maybe we should double date there.
Maybe we should. Oh, dude, maybe we should. We may have just hit on something fantastic.
For us.
Yeah.
Our ladies will be like, oh, God. But we'll enjoy it.
And they'll just get to make fun of us. And like, these guys.
Maybe we should just go on a date there. You and I, Noel. Maybe we should just admit
it.
We should just do it.
Do it.
Anyway.
Anyway. So. So it made me think. Right, these guys obviously do a bad job of being ninjas, seeing as they slam doors and do jump scares on you and stuff like that. But what types of jobs would be good for modern ninjas, right? First, I thought maybe MMA, mixed martial arts, right? The obvious, go for the fight. And then I thought, no. But I did, in the brief time I looked at it, do you know who John Cena is?
John Cena, yes. The professional wrestler, now movie star.
Okay. There was an article that very recent. It was from this week,
mm-hmm.
of him admitting that when he was wrestling, he popped a boner.
Like always, or just no. at one and in
recently?
One... What?
Yeah. I was thinking maybe these ninjas could be German politicians because I read an article, a very disturbing article, not a funny article, where some German mayor just got killed for being liberal. And then there's apparently been a rash of several mayors and politicians who are not anti-refugee, have been murdered, and tons of them have threats on their lives.
So wow.
Like, maybe ninjas could do it.
Could do what? Oh, be the mayor?
Be the German mayors that aren't going to support racist views. But then also it's, you know, there's only, how many German mayors are there?
I don't know.
If you
there's
do it,
there's certainly one
started,
less.
If you started German.
Get it? I said there's certainly one less.
Dude, too that soon. if you start a German mayor ninja program, you owe us money. really, if you want to find the sweet spot, it should be something that can be more widespread than German mayors, more widespread than MMA. Something we all need, or could use at least, but don't want to see happen.
Mm-hmm.
So there's probably several things that could fit this bill, but the one I thought of, and I think the one where the most money is,
mm-hmm.
ninja house cleaners.
Oh, okay.
Right? You don't have to give your key to someone during the day. But they come in while you're at work, and who knows what they do.
Or maybe, right, maybe they come in while you're there, and you don't even know it.
They come in while you're there.
Uh-huh.
They come in while you're sleeping.
Yeah.
You wake up, house is beautiful, smells like lemon.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is my favorite ideas of yours today.
Why?
I just like it. I just love this idea.
Right? And, as I said, you're not giving your key to someone that you don't know, don't trust. You don't have to sit there and watch someone clean your house.
Mm-hmm.
In the window, out the window.
Yeah, what I like about
it's like Cato.
What I like about it, it's a rehabilitative Cato, like Bruce Lee Cato?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, Bruce Lee, the Chinese guy.
Dude, he's not supposed to be Chinese in the...
Green Hornet?
No, I'm not even thinking of Green Hornet.
What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking
Cato
of...
Cato Kaelin?
No.
Houseboy?
You're not
Your
even...
Your ninja houseboy?
No. The Peter Sellers movies.
Oh, that Cato.
Yes.
Yeah, he is Chinese.
Japanese in
he's
that.
He's not Japanese in that. He's Chinese.
In that, he's supposed to be Japanese. He's clearly supposed to be Japanese. He's teaching them ninjutsu.
What are you talking about?
That's the whole premise.
Okay, I'm not even going to have this. It's not ninjutsu, but okay.
Anyway, what it'll be.
What I like best about it is you're taking a skill, ancient skill that was used for death, that was used for war,
uh-huh.
it was used for negative things, essentially, uh-huh. and you're turning it into a positive.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
Okay.
It's like a rehabilitation thing.
Sure. It is.
How can you use these skills for the betterment of society?
Mm-hmm.
And that's great. I love that.
That's it.
Great idea, Noel. So, Noel, you brought up the Iga Ryu Ninja Museum in Iga.
Yeah.
220 miles southwest of Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know who runs that museum?
No.
It's a gentleman by the name of Jinichi Kawakami.
Okay.
Do you know why he's interested in ninjutsu and in ninjas? Do you?
He spent a semester in China and got interested while he was there.
That's exactly it. You know, he loved Bruce Lee.
No, why?
Because he is the last living ninja.
Okay.
He is the 21st head of the Ban Clan.
Mm-hmm.
There were multiple clans of ninjas, apparently. There were like three major ones.
Mm-hmm.
The Ban was one of them. They're the only one that apparently still exists. And he is the last member of it. He began training at the age of 6. For concentration training, he would sit in front of a candle and stare into the flame until he was inside it. For training his hearing, he would sit in one room and the master would drop a needle on the wooden floor and he'd have to say if he heard it or not.
Okay.
But he has no students. He's no one he wants to train, no one he's willing to train, because he feels that ninjas don't fit in this modern day. He says, we can't try out our murder or poisons. Even if we learn, we can't try it out. Now, I feel like this is kind of a weak argument. Because I can't imagine that, like, do you think they were randomly killing people while they were learning how to do their poisons and explosives?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that was a thing that they did? No, they learned. And then when it came handy,
yeah.
If there was a war or something, they used it. Well, I think at this point we have proven that ninjas do belong in the modern day.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to do,
okay.
Dear listener. You're going to go to Kawakami in Iga Prefecture, 220 miles southwest of Tokyo. You are going to play him this episode. You are going to show him that ninjas do belong in modern society.
Uh-huh.
You are going to convince him to take you on as a student. You
yeah.
will learn the true secrets of ninja.
Yeah.
And then this is where it's all going to get hot, right?
Okay.
So you were talking about MMA
mm-hmm.
and ninjutsu.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about MMA because MMA is a mixed martial art, and
yeah.
it has become very popular as a training technique with people. UFC has gyms all around the world.
Oh, yeah.
At this point. People train now Brazilian jiu-jitsu like it's going out of style. People train in Thai kickboxing like it's going out of style. You're going to open up a chain of ninjims, and you will train people in the healthy art of ninja.
Yeah.
Coming from a true ninja, the last, you will then be the last of the kind.
Yeah.
You will be the 22nd head of the Ban Clan, or Ban Clan,
yeah.
or Bon Clan. You will be the last living ninja. People will want to train with you and train in your gyms.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a given. It yeah. seems crazy that people wouldn't. So there you go, ninjims.
Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. You guys, if you want to reach out to Josh, give him some ideas, give him a pat on the back. If you want to reach out to us and say, hey, I don't know if you realize this, but our next episode is going to be our 200th episode.
Yeah, I just don't know when we're going to get to it.
You're going
to
say, hey, happy 200th episode if you want. You can go on Twitter at GRQ Josh Knoll.
You can email us at G. I'm going to say this slowly.
Okay.
So people understand what the email address is, and they'll send us an email maybe. It's GRQ, the letters GRQ, with Josh and A-N-D, not ampersand, and Noel at gmail.com.
Yeah, I'm going to say this one quick because this is the way most people tend to get in touch with us. If you want to get us on Facebook, it's Facebook.com/GRQ-Noel. If you want to... listen, you can tune in Saturday nights, 8 o'clock, Radio Free Brooklyn. Get the schemes 5 days before anyone else. Get there early. Listen to Art Star Scene, guys.
Do we have anyone after us yet?
No, they're still playing the Famous Dead People for now. As I said, they had the person lined up, and then the person ghosted. Or he ninja'd.
Ooh.
No one knows.
There's something you can do. You can start chaining out ninja for different popular phrases.
Yeah. Yeah. For that one, for sure.
Yeah.
He ninja'd me. If you do want to listen to us in podcast form, though, you can go to iTunes or anywhere you get a podcast. Subscribe, rate, review, tell your friends, tell your enemies.
spray painted on a wall for, please. You guys, you got a lot of money in your pocket. You got to spend it. Josh's going to tell you how right now.
We had to ask, what's the most expensive yacht out there? Well, that title belongs to History Supreme, designed by Stuart Hughes. Hughes put aside his usual practice so that he could take on the task of designing the most expensive yacht of all time. History Supreme was finally created. Calling History Supreme a superyacht doesn't quite do her justice. For one, the yacht doesn't cost hundreds of millions. It was bought for $4.8 billion. The History Supreme's exterior is plated with platinum and gold. In fact, the 100-foot vessel holds over 200,000 pounds of precious metals within its composition. Along with the gold and platinum-adorned exterior, the deck, the dining area, the rails, and even the anchor are garnished with the priceless metals as well. Seems like a bit much, huh? Well, then let's take a trip down to the master suite, and you'll find that it features a wall piece composed of meteorite and authentic Tyrannosaurus Rex bones. That's right. And if the space rock and dinosaur bone aren't enough to marvel at, Hughes also included a 24-karat gold Aqua Vista panoramic wall aquarium. For now, we'll put History Supreme in the category of floating aquarium housing prehistoric space museums touched by Midas himself. Hughes also left an 18.5-carat diamond liquor bottle and an iPhone wrapped in 500-cut diamonds, just as a couple cherries on top.
There you go, $4.8 billion for a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? You will be making Howard Hughes look like a paper boy.
Thing is, the guy who bought it is the richest man in Malaysia, but he's worth like $14 billion.
Uh-huh.
So he spent like, a third of his wealth on this boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And the upkeep on that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can't even imagine what it costs to keep up something that expensive.
Yeah, maybe it's built good. It runs itself.
Oh, yeah. Runs itself. Built good.
You guys.
You're going to be a hell of a boat salesman.
Yeah.
This four, you know what you're spending this $4.8 billion on? It's built good.
Yeah.
Runs itself.
Yeah.
You just sold me, my friend.
There you go. I got three of them for you.
Uh-huh.
How do you know that our ideas are so good you should quit your job, take out loans, sell your car, abandon your family and your friends just to put it all into our ideas? It's because Josh scours the internet for rules of getting rich quick, to which we are now going to judge our schemes by. Josh, where do our rules come from this week?
Today's rules are J. Paul Getty's Rules to Wealth from Wealth Daily.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that J. Paul Getty clearly is a ninja, was a ninja, or he took his rules from the land of ninjutsu. You ready
okay.
for this?
Yeah.
Rule number one, be stealthy.
Oh. I don't even have to answer.
Yeah.
This is just the definition of ninja.
Yeah.
But.
You ready? Rule number two?
Yeah.
Be patient and capture hidden quality values.
Are you kidding me?
I'm telling you.
Okay. You guys, normally at this point I would be explaining how these rules fit our schemes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just repeating them if I do.
Yep. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
For number three?
Number three.
Be independent.
Be independent. Be the last ninja out there.
Yeah. I mean, it was literally like he was getting rich from being a ninja.
Yeah.
Before we even thought of this podcast.
Yeah, it's crazy.
We're definitely getting rich if J. Paul Getty got rich off of it. So once again, for Josh.
And Noel, don't spend all that knowledge in one place.